We're together tonight in a moment of preparatory reflection on the Lord's Supper celebration. It's a time of communion of the Lord Jesus through the sacrament and the words with his people. And relationships are extremely tender. You can liken it to the ball joint. And the socket and the ball joint. You cannot have sand kernel in between there. That grinds and hurts. Makes it not flow. That's also with relationships that way in natural life. Angry word between each other. Or the neglect of attention. Whatever. It can hinder and destroy. The smooth communion, if you may use the word. Now, that's true in natural life. It's even far more true in spiritual life. And the test of a true and healthy spiritual life is that you cannot live with one grain of disruption between God and your soul. That's a good test. If our spiritual life is healthy, that we don't feel it only, but also can live with it. And though the relationship between God and his people is absolutely unlike the relationship between people and people, think of how unequal and how one-sided, yet the tenderness of it and the quality of it is very much dependent on how we live and how we are. So that's why tonight, just a few moments, I'd like to cause your attention to be drawn to the psalm of, we say often, David. Others say Ezra. Psalm 119, we'll leave it undecided. But that psalm is not just a psalm that is chronologically telling us the story of a day or an hour, but it's a collection of many petitions gathered alphabetically in the psalm that we have in front of us. You know, the last section, for example, all start with the letter Ta, the T, you might say in English, in Hebrew, the Ta. So there's an order to this poetical collection. And each of them are really on their own. It's like an individual ring, each text. And I mentioned on the outline, like a chest of golden rings. It's probably better to call it really a chain of golden rings. Because though they're distinct, they're all united. They're united in a connection to the Word of God and to the salvation of God and to the love of God. So tonight, we've looked and read a portion of this psalm. And in some way, this psalm makes us feel real poor. How we wish we could have a spiritual life like that. The way that David expresses his confident love, joy, desire, needs, and longings. And sometimes you feel, oh, if I only could be like that. And yet, the last verse of the psalm, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. It's almost again at that moment. That David perhaps is on the level where we are, even tonight. Let's consider that scripture briefly tonight. I call it the backslider's return. Because that's what he feels like, at least. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Really kind of a curious verse at the end of this beautiful psalm. You say, where have you gone astray in this psalm? Where are you? If you're reading these things and are saying these things, where have you gone astray? See, this is a collection of the better moments of the saints. This is not where they always are. The psalms are not always what they're having. Those are the better moments of the spiritual life. And yet David, in this moment, in this psalm, acknowledges himself to be a backslider. Or if it was Ezra, it doesn't really matter. The backslider's return begins with his awareness. It is, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And proceeds with his confession, which are the words that he speaks here. And thirdly, is expressed in a petition. Seek thy servant. He says, I'm a strayed sheep. He actually calls himself, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He didn't say, I am a lost sheep. I'm a strayed sheep. And in that sense, he can feel lost. Now, who are the lost and the strayed? In one sense, congregation, everyone in this world is a strayed sheep. God being the shepherd creator, and have all gone astray. Maybe Isaiah 53 is actually hinting that when it speaks in a very universal statement. We have all gone astray. Everyone has gone astray in our fall. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. So in one way all sinners are strayed consciously and willingly from God. But in other ways, the Lord's people are often straying like sheep. This is a spiritual man speaking. This is a converted man speaking. This psalm is an expression of a child of God. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. There are many examples in the Bible of sheep that have gone astray. They are children of God. Peter. Abraham. Openly. Lied in the Egyptian court. It's my sister. Lot. Child of God. David. Psalmist, if that's what he is. Think of the incredible sins that he did. Stray like a sheep. Hezekiah. Again, one of these kings that stand out. We often talk about Peter going astray, but what about John and James? Can we have the right and the left hand in thy kingdom? So, we find open expressions of going astray, but we find far more, but we don't see it so much, secret expression of going astray. Not too many in our church here. They are openly straying. But what about the secret straying? The secret subtle faults of our life. You can stray far while you're in church twice every Sunday. We can stray far while dressed in a preacher's suit. Preaching every Sunday. We can stray far while we attend the Lord's Supper every 3-4 months. We can stray. It's happening. We can stray while we have our daily devotions. Habitually, consistently, like clockwork. We can stray while we're leading our family in worship. We can stray while we walk outwardly on the narrow path. We can stray while we can confess the last part of the verse. I do not forget thy commandments. It's a strange combination in this text. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, and yet he says, for I do not forget thy commandments. How can you say that while you're being straying? Yes, that's possible. Deep down, David knew all along God's commandments. When he planned every step of the way he was going. Joab objected. Uriah's actions were as a stab in his conscience. I know thy commandments. I wouldn't forget them. And still he's straying. See, that is the reality that we find in David's life and many others. So in this week of preparation, make it a point to examine yourself. Are we straying? Not visible to anybody, but in the sight of God. Here we have one who says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What's now really the priority in our life? We can stray by being focused on my comfort done versus Christ done. Christ's kingdom and my kingdom. My comfort, His honor. Let's examine, friends. Let's examine, child of God. Let's examine this day. What is now really the priority of my life? So easy it is to be busy for my comfort and my name and for my reputation while we are outwardly perhaps examples to others, straying in the heart. Isn't that what David's asking? Lord, keep me from presumptuous sin. Search me. Search me. Preparation for the Lord's Supper got to have this component in it. Search me, Lord. Know my ways. See if there's any of these grinding pieces of sand between me and thee that cannot have communion. And if we long to experience the nearness of our Father and our Son, the Son and the Holy Spirit, we got to search. We got to come to this straying point. So easy to please the flesh. Let's ask ourselves, have I been knee falling to covetousness? Somewhere else, he says that. He says, Lord, incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness. See? It's been straying. You didn't see that. He saw it. Lord, turn my eyes away from their vanities. What is he looking at? He's been straying, hasn't he? Vanity. The world. The things of today. The material things. Don't ever think that he's been gone to the movies. He's not doing that. He's just busy with life. The vanities. And chilled to the word of God. Incline my heart to thy testimony. Ah, he reads the word, goes to the motions, comes to church, but it's not that zeal, that spark, that desire anymore. That's straying. That's straying far. That's straying away from the first love. See, this is what he's saying. Oh God, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. How easy to have the appearance of godliness, congregation, while we miss the power. It's easy to be mockingbird. We don't have mockingbirds, I think, in New Zealand. But the mockingbird, at least in the States, is a bird that then sings like this bird, then he sings like that bird, then he sings like that bird. And if you're a bird watcher, you get mocked. You think you're looking for a goldfinch, and you all of a sudden see nothing from that. It's easy to be like that in our religion. Mockingbird. Sounds like what it is, but it is not what it is. You know, we talk about faith, but living it faithfully. We talk about sin, but weeping. When's the last time? We could say something like this, Lord, my eyes are like rivers of water, for they, not me, they, not he also. But we can sometimes be having tears over our own sins. And there's a lot of selfishness in that sometimes. For my sin. There's my relationship. Yeah, but how about the sins of the neighbor? We have a weeping about that. If this is written by Ezra, and we find in Ezra 9, as we heard you today, Reverend Foster, he wasn't involved in these marriages. He wasn't involved in these Amorite, Gilgal, and all the other nations' sins. And yet Ezra feels like he's cut up. How far have we strayed away from the sense of weeping and sorrowing? And we can speak, congregation, about sin, but God says we're mockingbirds. Now, Where is the weeping behind the closed doors before the God you confess? There's a lot of straying in our carnal Christianity, where God is the belly, or our belly is the God. We live for here, for now, for self, for comfort, for me. So see, straying, examine it. And such straying is the most loathful sin. I got to press that home to you and me. I was thinking about that as I prepared that. That is one of the most loathsome sins. The child of God strays from the shepherd. Shepherd died for you. Shepherd gave up every comfort. The shepherd wrestled with an agony of soul that is unmeasurable. A shepherd's love went so far that he left his father's house. And he is willing to live in this hellish world. And then to stray away from a shepherd like that, it's a loathsome sin. To have him no more the priority, to have him no more on the number one place, to have no more this warm and devoted love to him. God says in Jeremiah, and I'll read it to you, strong statement. This is what the Lord calls the world and the heavens to do. He says in Jeremiah 2 verse 11, Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, for my people have committed two evils, have forsaken me, have forsaken me. Hear the pain? I didn't forsake them, I gave myself for them, I died for them, I suffered for them, they've forsaken me. There's no place in the scripture where God's heart is so more revealed as in the prophets of the Old Testament. He feels like a betrayed husband. He feels like a hurt, terribly hurt lover. They've forsaken me. Oh, to stray away from the shepherd, dear congregation. That is the first part of the Lord's Supper form this week. That I meditate on the bitterness and the loathsomeness of the sin that I commit against such a lover of my soul. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Yeah, when God is asking the question tonight, have I been a wilderness to you that you needed to find another? That's the question he's asking me, Jeremiah, all the time. Have I been a wilderness to you? Have I not been there for you? That you have to go and find your well-being, your comfort and your joy in something else besides me. You feel the pain? That's the pain of the love of the shepherd. Not only hurtful and loathsome, it's also foolish. Well, what did we replace? Did we make better by leaving and going astray? No, not at all. And so the backslider awareness. I'm trying to create an awareness in you and me tonight. Where have we gone astray? Take it now home. Let's take this in the bosom to the throne of grace. Let's meditate. Have I gone astray? Take God's commandments in front of you. Take the Heidelberg Catechism in your hand. Go through the commandments and read. Where have I gone astray? And that's the second part. Notice he doesn't only conclude I've gone astray. No, confession. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He humbles himself before his God and congregation. It's one of the hardest things to do. It's one of the things we most resist. We all know we've been wrong. There's not one of us here who knows he's not been wrong. But the hardest thing in our life is to say, I have been wrong. Dead wrong. confess it. So David did. I have gone astray. To humble ourselves is to make a confession of our sins. And then God is not deceived by fancy words. He's not interested in hearing any minimizing. He's not interested in hearing any justifications of our choices or of going astray. He doesn't want us to flower up any confession. He wants us to be real and to tell Him the full and the only truth. And what does David say? I've gone astray. No blame on thee. No blame on the people who make my life miserable, as yet plenty of them. No circumstances, O Lord. Nothing of that. I gone astray. Now that's humbling. The prodigal son comes back, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against thee. David in Psalm 50:51 says, Now Lord, I'm sorry, but Bathsheba really shouldn't have done. No word about Bathsheba. I have sinned and done evil in thy sight. That's confessing. That's humbling. That's where God wants us to be this week. I have gone astray. I followed myself, my thinking, my desire, my compromising, my flesh. And the confession is not, oh, the serpent deceived me. Oh, I couldn't help it, Lord. I tried my best and it was so difficult. No, congregation, that's not confessing. I have gone astray. I did it, like a lost sheep. Own it. Confess it. There's going to be no healing. There's going to be no restoration if it doesn't get there. And then notice, God often calls us to show compassion on other sinners that fall. There's one exception. He calls us to compassion to the brother that falls. But there's one exception in the Bible. He's never asked you to have compassion with yourself about your sin and about your strength. That not. I have gone astray. But then he closes this confession with a fervent petition. He says, seek thy servant. The backslider's return is expressed in a petition. Now the Holy Spirit gives direction by David's action to us also tonight. Where does David go with his strain? Where does he go with his problem? He takes it back to God. He takes it back to the very one who alone can solve it and save him. Seek thy servant. It's no means of healing in ourselves. You identify how far you have strayed away from the devotion, the walk of faith. When you identify where you've brought yourself and what you've done yourself, then let us remember what God says in Jeremiah 2 verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, some acid I suppose, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord thy God. David says, Lord, I can't save myself. Look at the previous verse. Let my soul live. He confesses before God openly, Lord, I cannot find a way back to thee. I've gone astray. I've chilled my soul so much by being focused on the things that chills the soul. I got myself so deep in this hole of my sinful thinking, I can't get myself out of this hole. I have, Lord, so deeply hurt myself, I can't heal myself. You take it back to God. God is inviting us that. He says in Jeremiah 3, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal you. He wants us to bring it to Him. With words, explain it to Him. Lord, I'm trapped in unbelief. Can't get it out anymore. I am so earthly minded. I've tasted it again. The vanity. And I'm raptured with it. Lord, I am cold in heart. And no matter what I do, no matter where I look, and no matter what I read, it stays cold. I am formal in all my religion. I've left my first love. No, I've lost my first love. And I cannot rekindle it again. He takes it back to God. Lord, I've gone astray. Seek thy servant. And so there is one who is able and willing to heal sinners. Who? God. God is willing. God is able. God calls us all over in the scriptures. Bring your case to me. I have come into this world. I don't have to quote too many, but let me give you one. I have no desire in the death of the wicked, saith the Lord, but that he turn and live. This God has a desire that you live. What an encouragement. And that's what David does. He takes his case to God. Lord, seek thy servant. And that is how the Holy Spirit gives us a direction in the petition this evening. Seek thy servant. You say, ah, but see, Pastor, I am not his servant. I can't claim that. Okay, creature then. And make it creature tonight. And go ask him, seek thy lost creature. Can't claim servant, you can claim creature. Let God hear it. I've got to hear this petition. Let us hear this wrestle. I have gone astray, Lord. Seek thy creature. Seek me. Draw me. Deliver me, O God. Redeem me. Take me out of the place where I brought myself. That's how the Lord wants to be. I say it reverently. Used. Used. Yeah, made use of in that sense. No, David does not try to in any way earn his way back by saying, seek thy servant for I don't forget thy commandment, Lord. Seek thy servant because look, I have not forgotten thy commandment. No, and I think in a certain way he's only here indicating his relationship. I am thy servant, Lord. And though I have gone astray, thou knowest all things. I do love thee. That's what he's saying. Yes, Lord, I've gone astray. I have to weep about it. But yet I will not deny that deep down in my heart, thy commandments to me are more than that stupid gold and silver. Can you echo that tonight? Seek thy servant. Oh yeah, but may I repeat then this petition tonight? May I repeat, who am I? Well, who was David? Yeah, but David, no, David is just like we all are, a sinner, lost, and sinner strayed away. And sinner who have strayed deeply from God's loving care. But the question to ask is, who is God? Does his character encourage me to seek him? Well, the whole scripture is an encouragement to seek him. The whole character of the living God is about love. It's about mercy. It's about grace. You know why he lingers, right? Why is he lingering? To cut your life off. You haven't come to Christ. Why is he lingering? Because there's mercy in his heart. No desire in your death. Let that encourage you tonight to go back to this God. Seek me, Lord. Gone astray like a lost sheep, the good shepherd. Jesus pictures himself in Luke 15. And I will close with those thoughts as we hear him picture the good shepherd What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? The good shepherd. See him seeking? He's not satisfied with 99. He wants that one. He's risking going in the wilderness. And then he finds that sheep, takes it on his shoulders, and he carries it home, rejoicing. All that hurt that that sheep has caused that shepherd, it's not talked about. He carries it home, speaking sweetly on the way, undoubtedly, to quiet the terrified, wearied animal. Back to home. That's the shepherd. And he wants to remind you tonight, strayed sheep, he is seeking you, even this evening. There is forgiveness with God, but no forgiveness without repentance. Yes, God is ready to forgive. God is a forgiving God. He loves to forgive, but he's not indulgent. Each sin to God is big, serious. He will not ignore it. You will not ignore a little dust in your eye, will you? Well, think what our sins are in the eye of God. He's not going to ignore that. So I'll close my eye on that. Now, so when there is straying, when there is sins, let's go search them and identify and confess them and lay them before the king, the shepherd, seeking forgiveness. Amen. Let us now pray together for God's blessing on this word. Almighty and good Jehovah God in heaven, has brought us here together on this evening hour, in a moment of reflection, but also in a moment of prayer and supplication. And Lord, we humble ourselves this evening at thy feet in a confession for none of us, but also none of thy people is exempt from having gone astray time after time from thee, the great shepherd. Undoubtedly, thou hast painfully observed our straying away, our slacking in our affection, in our thoughts and our choices, the priorities we have given to thee and to thy word and to thy spirit. And we pray that thou would let us feel that pain, that humanly speaking thou experience as a shepherd who gave thy life for thy sheep out of love. The pain that thou must see, Lord, that thou must experience, as it were. And we think humanly now that thou wilt, when thou see how little we are willing to sacrifice, let us taste more of the bitterness of the sin against love and light. And we know that such an experience is not joyful. But how needed, O God, that we may taste the bitterness, to loathe ourselves, to humble ourselves again. So we pray that we may be enabled to, in these remaining days of this week, also search out our heart and life as the Jews of old searched for the leaven in their homes before the Passover, so that we diligently use the means of the word and meditation. Yet, Lord, we also seek thee tonight for that cleansing and healing mercies. We have created and we do create our own miseries, God, but we cannot undo them. And Lord, if we come to Thee tonight, seek Thou us. Seek Thou us, O God, drawing us away from the very sins that have captivated us or have again filled our mind. And as we may meditate on that blood-streaked body of our suffering Lord Jesus Christ, and as we seek to penetrate into the agony of His soul as He wrestled, and as we behold Thy judgments poured out on Him, as David prayed, "Let Thy judgments help me." Also the sight of Thy judgment on sin and the Savior. God, let that unfreeze our hardened heart. Let that awaken a spiritual reaction in us. Let that inflame hatred against all sin, but also sorrow. We read in this psalm, David had rivers of water, as it were, about the sins he observed even in others. And dear God, we confess we can be so dried-eyed, so hardened. Maybe that's another way in which we've strayed away from the tenderness of our conscience. We pray that Thou would revive our love and thankfulness for that priestly sacrifice through all the meditations as well. O great God, afresh wilt Thou work that first love that so impelled the hearts of Thy church with an eagerness to show that Thou art worthy all our life. Seek Thou us, Lord, that we may run after Thee. That we may no more cleave to the things of this world, but that we may cleave to these spiritual joys and truths of Jesus and His kingdom. Seek Thou us, Lord, still too many of us. Thou art not real. Too many of us, Thy word is not the power of salvation. Many of us may be religious, but not repentant. We may be believers in God, but not lovers of God. And we pray that Thou dost so also seek in our midst sinners, drawing them, empowering them to repent, to believe the gospel, to come to their senses, Lord, and to return unto Thee in the way of humility. Seek Thou us, O God, and break the cleaving to the dust and turn our eyes away from those bewitching vanities that will not deliver what they promise to deliver. Open our eyes again and again, more and more, to all see the glory of the law and of the gospel. So seek Thou us tonight. We cannot be too far from Thee. And our condition, hopeless and helpless in ourselves, Lord, but in Thee is our hope. We heard it on Sunday as David says, "Hope in the Lord, O my soul. I shall yet see Him in the health of my countenance." And we pray that also that may be our experience, first time or by renewal. Remember those of us who are in doubt, who live in great fear to deceive themselves by taking and eating and drinking themselves with judgment, who stand afar off, Lord, with longing needs and fearful hearts. O Father, Thou hast sent Thy Son, and Thou hast poured out Thy Spirit as the seeking Shepherd. And Thou hast said, "I will seek that which was lost. And I will bring in again what is driven away. And I will bind up that which is broken. And I will strengthen that which is sick. And I will destroy what is fat and strong and feed him with judgment." We're going to hold our finger here tonight, Lord, at that promise that thou art a seeking shepherd. Seek thou them. Seek thou us. Draw and overcome all the fears. And allow, Lord, also such fearful souls to rejoice in thee and in thy salvation. Thank thee for seeking and for finding those of us who were lost and strayed and are found again. Never can we praise thee enough for thy grace. Never, Lord, can we comprehend enough what it cost thee to show us this grace. Never can we plummet the depth of the love of God in Christ. And as we may behold the tokens of that in the sufferings of Jesus on this coming Lord's Day, we pray that thou would fill the heart of thy church again with a fresh and a joyful awareness of that unconditional, unbounded love. May we not forget those benefits thou hast secured for thy church. So, Lord, we wait on thee and commend these petitions at thy feet. In the name of thy Son, bring us safely home. Keep us in the remainder of the week, Lord, and whatever thou hast planned for every day of this week, we know thy hand is in it. Help us to recognize it. Help us to trust in it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.